No, we can make whatever action on it.
I think if somebody, if it's important enough for somebody to request it, they should show up.
Yeah. I agree, but yeah, they don't need to be here.
Hey, you tell me when. All right, welcome to the Green River City Planning Commission meeting, regular meeting, Tuesday, May 18th, 2026 at 7 p.m. at 460 East Main Street. Present are the employees.
Julie Spadafore.
David Wilson.
And Councilor Committee members, Don John, Kim McFarland.
May Bly.
Lena Brown.
Sandra Weber. Alice said Nurse Weber.
Nurse Weber.
And Oliver Nunn.
John Booker.
You're listening. Okay. And, that is, brings up another question. Did we need to propose an alternate to the city council?
Yeah, I can talk about it now. We can just bring it up in the commission and admin reports, number 5. But okay. Yeah, we'll want to.
So does that need to be an agenda item for us to nominate that as a report?
No, it'd be council and mayor approval.
But are we supposed to recommend someone?
You can, but you don't need to. Yeah. Anybody that applies, the council and mayor will appoint them. I know just one other guy that shows up.
Yeah. And we've already demonstrated that they don't have to be within city limits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So item number 1, discuss, approve, deny, lock line adjustment for Cordelia Mendez and that all I see is a plat. I don't see an application.
Well, it's required to have it surveyed. Looks like it has been
Yeah, I don't know if there's an actual application for it. They just submit. I just had them submit a survey.
Do they have the new
description?
Yeah, property description.
Yeah, it's real small on that document. Yeah.
I've been trying to read that one.
You have to download them and then you can scroll and enlarge them. That's what I do.
I was trying that.
No, you're fine. But
because I couldn't see it either.
Yeah, so I'll just want to run through the ordinance real quick. So for a lot line adjustment, it's fairly simple. Kone and Conrad, you guys, like Kone has said, a survey with the new either meets and bounds or just lot descriptions. And they are on there, and that is the survey. Basically, you guys review it, make sure it doesn't. The only thing you have to make sure it doesn't do is create a new housing square. Like, basically, they're not. It's very hard to do. So I don't even have an example for it.
Well, you're right. It just can't block or impede upon the other surrounding property.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, there's a street right there. It's not impeding on any of the property.
Yeah. There is Verge's property that's currently platted is a flag lot. I did that flag lot 2-3 years ago. This is still creating or is leaving a flag lot if we make the approval, but it is making it better. Our code requires a 20-foot on the flagpole of the lot requires 20-foot easement. Fire code would rather 25, and this is creating a 25, so that actually makes it better. Has to remain within.
Now, where his house is a flag.
No, it's a set. Yeah,
it's the one that was on Golden River. proposing.
Yeah, so our code says 20 feet, but fire, 20 is fine, but fire would really like 25, and so that's what it's doing. And then the flagpole can't be longer than 200. So those are basically the only two things that we need to review with a flag lot. And so what you can see, the existing lot is here in this shape. This way, so I'm not blocking the guys. And then Rogelio currently has this kind of triangle shape that's pinched down to 20 feet there. The new lot that they're wanting is Rogelio's flagpole to be on this side, and he has access to his back property. And we change this shape into a more of a square for the Castro Vida family.
Well, because there's plenty of rooms in all zoning rooms that I can see.
How deep is that lot?
So
117 feet.
On the longest line. Long
side. Short side is
87.
And the back is
91.44.
Okay.
And then we can.
So that's 0.09 acres.
I want to say it's a little.
That,
I forgot the size.
That is down on the bottom right there.
0.099.
Oh, yeah, they're giving 0.099 acres.
Oh, that's,
and those are
giving up.
Yeah.
And the other side is 0.063.
Is what they're gaining here.
So does it give the lot how many acres is in the new lot?
I believe so. Let me scroll over to the description. No, it doesn't give the new lot sizes.
It should.
We can calculate it though.
Yeah. And it does some.
All reconfigured.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah, I'm not easily seeing it, but I know just by the dimensions. I had calculated at one point, and they met the R3 and agriculture dimensions. If you want, I can calculate it, but.
No, that's fine. Kind of just expect that to be a normal part of the.
It should
children.
Be on the property description, so they must.
It actually might be over here on this drive, on the far right, in that small print.
Yep.
I'm doing this back.
That's very, yeah. So the map section right there.
No, that's just what brought section, township, and range.
What about the top of that?
No.
Is that usually part of the survey?
Yeah. It's part of the property description. We usually say
the acres. Normally short.
I've not seen it.
I don't think it would show up on the plat. Usually it does.
On the plat, but I've not seen it in the. Sometimes I've seen it, but most times I've not seen it in the description. Because they're currently going from his description, from like the Bennett's description, is deed recorded as entry number 438082. And that's all of certain lot, parcel, or piece. Land lying basically in lot one as deeded that same number. So it doesn't, the current description is very, very vague. And if you guys recall, I don't know if most of you are here, but it was in the Birchwood Estates subdivision that was vacated.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm disappointed.
Can we table it till they're here? Or is that not? Why not?
You could, but yeah, there's no reason.
There's no reason. Well, they just said they want.
We were disappointed about it and hold it against them. So, someone want to move on?
I'll make a motion to approve the lot lighting adjustment trust.
Second.
All in any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Okay.
Does that mean all the lots next to our funky lines too, or?
No, this is
all. I think it is at least from what we can see in this one. That was the only lot that was.
When they vacated the other ones, I thought they drew 9th Street.
They did, but they vacated Birchwood except for this lot.
Oh, okay.
This lot and, yeah, that lot was the only one that remained from the Birchwood Estates. And then it came in its odd shape.
Okay. Discussion on zoning clearances, building permits, and building licenses.
I have no new zoning clearances or building permits or business licenses since last meeting. I am working on two homes. The 55 Howard Street, the one that caught fire last year. That one, I have a demolition permit, asbestos lead testing done, and it's going to be demolished relatively soon. They're working on how to transport it themselves or if they're bringing in roll-offs to have it taken care of. And I just met with them at 6:15 today. They're going to be rebuilding the square, the footprint of the burnt building. If not, they'd have to meet new setback standards and such because it is in a commercial zone and the meadows is about a foot off of the property line. And if they're to rebuild a new home outside of that footprint, they then have to make sure they're 16 feet away from the Meadows building currently. So that's illegal non-conforming. I forget the letter we used to send out. I haven't sent one in a while. In an act of nature or God, you can rebuild your house to the same footprint. So that's going to happen. There's another house.
That one is... south of Main Street.
Just north. Two buildings past the White Bible Church.
North of Main
Street. North of Main Street.
Just north of Meadows.
North of Meadows.
Oh.
Okay. The sealed Holloway house.
Yeah, that's actually who's on.
Thank you.
Terry McBride.
I have a second one. And this one's been kind of, we've been working on this one for several months. It is off of Pirate Avenue and Howard Street. So they own half of this block and then these parcels as well. They're looking to put a house kind of in this general area. We do have sewer running down the alley to the back of this home, but they would have to cross over this wash and storm kind of drainage, kind of natural slash we've been using it for years. So there's kind of been an issue there. They're looking now to pull the sewer line off of Pirate Avenue and then come all the way down to their home. So that would require a manhole here and a manhole near their connection of their service lateral. So that's kind of why we've been working on it for a while. There's just small things here and there that they have to work through.
Where
water source runs all the way through Howard from Pirate to Main Street.
if they own all the way to the north end, it's your property, it's in that short end.
It's about 30 feet deep with a giant storm drain. And it runs, and it's crazy because I want to say 30. I'd say it's probably like 15. It's like 3 feet deep on this side, the culvert. And then, yeah, it's like 15 plus feet deep on this side. And then it just runs through here. And we have a culvert from on this side to continue running this direction.
That is part of the bowl drainage issue that you've been running.
That's why I started it. That's why I started it. One of the reasons. There's many reasons, but that's what really cherry on top.
That is the primary drilling point for all of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Building permits. Obviously, when these houses come to fruition, we'll have those, but I don't have anything new. Business licenses. We are nearing our fiscal year of July. So we're going to be, Lonnie's already running the new licenses and getting those sent out. She's finishing up on that today. So
today.
Yeah. Okay.
And is there discussion of the LIHTC housing development in that area?
Yeah, so I did do a zoning clarification letter stating what the zone is and what it is allowed for. And that was for the where the hatchery is, these two parcels with under Royd Hat, and then these, I want to say it's 6 25 by 125 parcels. So that's an R3 zone for apartments, townhouses, multifamily homes, duplexes. That's what's permitted in those areas.
And then they suggested what they're looking at.
Townhouses, I want to say apartments, and what we call two-family homes was the request in the clarification letter.
How many acres is that?
I don't know under combined, but I can look real fast.
That full block is less than 5 acres.
I want to say it's probably about 2.5.
Okay. Any other discussions on it?
I don't have anything else.
And okay.
Just one thing on the business licenses, they just said if there is a business that any business that was gonna open when you issued a business license, that the Erie County business something would say they would chamber would like to have information so they can have free credits.
Yeah, Dorothy Carter, Business Alliance, she would like, they can have, ribbon cuttings for new businesses.
They should mention it when you get a business license and if a new business owns, just to give new business publicity, they like to have ribbon cuttings.
Is that something that could be put onto the application form?
That's actually what we decided to do. We haven't made that change, but in council, it was mentioned in council last week.
It was mentioned, but they said that, it was just mentioned. It was just an idea that was thrown out there. And
yeah.
So it was something to say just for new businesses, they like have that to give them some promotion.
Yeah. I think we were just going to add it as a checkbox.
Maybe they could do it when you hand out a business license. And it could just be a separate. So maybe, hey, we don't get your business. We'd like to have a ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
Free publicity or something.
Yeah, that'd just be something simple. Checkbox or another pamphlet. We just haven't made that yet. We do, anytime we get a business license, though, we do contact Dorothy currently. So this will just give it more of a streamlined kind of thing. Make it formal, yeah.
Yeah. Do we need to have a proposal to have that part of that?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Land use enforcement. So this is kind of a hot topic to find. And so it was with the city spending a lot of money for city development, which could and also any new jobs here and stuff. I've been concerned about the number of dilapidated buildings and things that are around town. And I'm going to say council that has been too, so maybe you can talk to the letter that was approved and what was the final resolution to make it citywide or
So it's just the letter itself is just a general letter we're going to provide to the Main Street and Broadway corridors. I say corridors because it may extend past like the first business here and there. But the focus is on Main Street and Broadway itself in this letter. And the final verdict was the council was unanimous and they approved and they want to move forward and they want to make sure that they provide as much assistance to me and to whoever else as possible. The final verdict was yes, let's move forward, but we need to review this a little bit more, make sure that every step, my proposal, I guess, to them was to make sure that we have every step ready to go if and when we need to have more authority or more teeth. I would say historically, that's probably where we've fell flat the most. Is I can send you that 30-day notice. I can send you that 60-day. I can send you that 90-day. But we need the if. If it doesn't happen, what do we do? So that's my proposal. It was mentioned in the council meeting that why are we starting here? And kind of the consensus was people traveling through. The first thing they see is our Main Street, and if we're trying to push for revitalization in Broadway, then obviously that needs to happen. I think me and you are coining the terms of why are we making the streets more walkable on a building that can fall down on you. I think we mentioned that multiple times. And then it's not really set out or laid out yet, right? We just had that first conversation last week. But in hopes, once Broadway and Main Street get taken care of in some sort of fashion, then we start merging out into the arteries of the streets and moving that way. And you know what? Hopefully maybe this spurs property owners and everything seeing that the city's moving forward. And if there is teeth and we're moving forward with liens or fines, then they'll be self-voluntarily clean up.
Then you say, this is what we're doing. Just yeah. Coming your way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so so currently there is that letter, and you've got the 90-day process for that, and then what is I'm sorry, I'm misleading this away.
Oh, you're fine.
Make it. So. What did they say they're going to do after those 90 days?
We haven't sat down and had our workshop yet.
So
is the nuisance working pretty good, or is it the same one that's always been
out? You know, the basic nuisance ordinance we have, I think, is good, but we have adopted the uniform code for abatement of dangerous buildings, and I've printed that packet out. We've mentioned it a couple times during these meetings. But I printed this out, comes with a coffee spill automatically, so you're ready to go.
Oh.
Hey, you know, it's been
a nice coloring. That
was a white one.
The design.
Yeah. It's not funny, but the story to this is when I first started, I reached out to the health department. I reached out to various people to see, like in groups, to see what we can do. And they didn't reply with words. They replied with this attachment of this document. So I think it's funny. So that's how much help I got from the health department.
When I was reviewing it, there was information that they said they're not the enforcers, they're just the policy writers. Is that accurate?
Or
or the, yeah, the, these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a deep dive on them, and they're like, yeah, we don't do any enforcement or anything. We don't even advise you. We just wrote the uniform code.
Yeah.
Is so that the case for that?
It is the health department, the fire marshal, and the music that are the enforcement.
Yeah.
On the website.
And I can't speak.
City official.
Yeah, I can't speak much for the health department. They really don't have a lot of.
Depends.
Yep. If there's risk of health to minors, to themselves, or potential dangerous things to neighboring property, stuff like that, they can come in and assist. They don't really have like as much teeth as like your municipality would. But.
Okay. So I got halfway through this thing. Well,
it takes a lot to read.
place that I started was the dangerous building. I went right to section 302, what constitutes a dangerous building. Yeah. And when I was reading through that, there's a lot there to swallow.
It's a three top.
Yeah, dangerous building 302. And it talks about the code. And in reading it, it will affect every single building on Broadway. And so when we're looking at this, I think we need to keep that in mind, because the major discussion has been to talk about the burned out buildings, the unsafe buildings. But it talks about whenever the walking surface of any aisle, passageway, or stairway is warped, worn, or loose, that's unsafe. If there's any door, aisle, or passageway, or stairway that is not sufficient in exit, that's a violation. So I understand that we really need to do something, but I think we need to be very cautious and really read this and understand it at its full extent, because like I said, it will affect every single building on Main Street. And when it comes to starting with Main Street and Broadway, people say that that's the first place that we see. I don't know that I agree. Living on Ferris Street, where we're right by the golf course and right by the campground, Ferris Street has a lot of traffic. And so if you look on Ferris Street, there's a ton of buildings that are unsafe as well. So I'm not wild about saying, let's just start with one area, because I think that's targeting certain people. And I think that may get us in a really gray area. We heard some pushback at the last city council about calling out certain individuals, when in reality there's a lot of business owners on Broadway, but there's a lot of business owners throughout Green River. So I'm not wild about focusing on one area when we have so many areas in Green River that look exactly the same. I don't think we're doing ourselves any favors. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, there could be an issue if, as if you're picking on someone.
Yeah, exactly. When I look at used to be the Shady Rest, Shady Acres.
Mm-hmm.
Those cabins are falling down. And if you start with Broadway and you ignore those other buildings, you're going to have a huge unhappy community. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see it fair and equitable for everyone. So I vote, instead of just focusing on, and I know we're not voting, but instead of just focusing on one area, focus on the entire town. Hold everyone accountable. Hold every single person to the same standard. If not, you're picking on just a handful of the citizens on Broadway. And it looks very unfair, and it does look like you are targeting,
yeah.
And harassing certain individuals when other people are equally have dangerous buildings.
I believe it is our intent, too, that we look at the town as a whole. I think it might kind of down this rabbit hole of Main Street and Broadway. I think our entire intent will be the whole town of Green River. But that's also where we start enforcing. We have to start somewhere and work our way out.
Why not start Ferris Street? Why Broadway?
We're working on longer.
I mean, I know that's not our decision, but that's
not Main Street.
Yeah, that's just my input.
So I think you're right in that, in particular, anything that we are discussing is going to apply to the whole city. Mm-hmm. I think that the city council has chosen for enforcement purposes because he has a limited, limited ability to enforce all of this, that they're going to pick, they're going to target a specific area.
They're going to pick a specific area. Target's not a good word. Just be real cautious.
And you know, and if they say we are we are looking at this area because we have a grant that is designated for this area, then that's justifiable. And you can focus on that area first and then expand out from that. And I agree with the I'm really pushing for it to apply everywhere. I don't think that one person can enforce all of that at the same time. And so, and if you can pick an area and do a demonstration project and say, we are improving this area, enforcing this.
That is still picking and choosing where it's going to be enforced, and it needs to be global. And I know that's not up for the city, to us in zoning. I know that that's up to city council, but when you are targeting one specific area, town only, and the entire town is looking like this, I don't think you're doing the right thing. I don't think that's honorable.
I still think we have to start somewhere, though. Like you said, even if we start at forest, let's talk to them and say, you're picking on us first, get your start with us.
Well,
you're going to get complaints.
True, but send letters to everybody. Don't just start with Broadway. Send out global letters to everyone. Make it look like you're actually walking the walk that you're talking. If not, what's going to happen is you're going to start with Broadway. It's going to hit all those buildings that have an uneven sidewalk that don't have any. All of those buildings are old. It's going to hit every single one of them. And every single business owner on that street is going to be unhappy if you start with just them. I mean, I get what you're saying. You have to bite off a little bit.
You time box a priority zones that you focus on, but you give the priority zone focus to everybody from the start. So priority zone one, Main Street, Broadway, this is happening from week X to week Y. Next priority zone, so everybody knows they're on the list, and they're going to get hit either way.
Yeah, even if you could give a time frame and say, okay, I agree, that sounds great, good solution. Start with this group, then you next, so they know. But to just point out one group and say, we're targeting you, we're picking on you, I think that's the wrong way to approach this in a town this size.
That's the way it looks.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's okay if you target someone, but then don't be mad at someone targets you, right?
Well, it may.
The other thing I'd say is also the biggest dangers first.
And those are the buildings on Ferris Street.
And so, I mean, you got the Brooklyn Hotel that
that's another one.
Buildings with big cracks. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but we'd have to come up with a rubric of how to decide which one's a higher danger. And in my opinion, I would start with the higher danger than.
Just be honorable about it.
The discussion on Tuesday, I mean, we're basically talking Broadway and the intersection with Main and one block past Main. We're not talking Main Street. That's not part of the discussion. It's Broadway, Central Block, whatever. Because the discussion was not Main all the way out here. The discussion is this project that they got $630,000 to design. And that's what it is. And that's what when they have their concept, their walk along, whatever. It's Broadway with one block north of Main Street and just that intersection. We're not talking anything about Main Street.
So in my participation in the walk along and in my discussion with the city council members, it was all Main Street and Broadway.
Because in the discussion Tuesday and the walk on Wednesday when we went, it's just the design that they
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
That we started at the museum and we did walk all the way down Broadway. Which is the first time I've made that whole walk through town.
That's fine.
And one of the other ways.
So I think that is an important thing is that I think that the city council's perspective is to do all of Main Street and Broadway because Broadway is in part, it is in this grant that they're pursuing. And so that is the reason that can be justified as a target area and Main Street as a focus that way. And so
people going
through, coming in.
So I think that they can justify starting there, but I agree that if you say zone 1, 2, and 3, and you're 1, 2, and 3, this is how you're
on the list. You got to take the test. This is your test day.
Yeah, you're included in this letter, but your enforcement time frame is out a little bit further because David can only enforce so many things at the same time.
I agree with the law, but I think we as a planning commission perhaps could help with establishing those zones.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Okay. So
we can just put the whole map out there and we can just go for drives and do whatever we need to do to establish those zones, but everybody should get the letter.
As long as it's fair and equitable for everyone, that's all I'm saying.
I think that is a great way. And then also to have the base code for enforcement. And so this is currently our code for abandoned buildings. And this is adopted and enforced, correct?
It's adopted. And will be used as enforcement, yeah.
So I mean
do we need
to do an additional abandoned building boarding policy like Salt Lake has?
I will admit I have not finished reading through that. I've read it 2-3 years ago. But I have not finished my read. I started reading it last week, Friday, didn't make any further progress Monday and Tuesday.
Hey, what was that regarding Salt Lake?
Salt Lake and Syracuse have what's called a boarding ordinance. And so any vacant building that has a broken window or broken door has to be repaired within 10 days. If not, they have to pay a boarding fee to the staff that board it to specifications, and they have to pay a fee to the city annually that doubles every 2 years. It starts out at $3,000 for a residential building and $6,000 a year for a business, for a commercial building, and that is an incentive for them not to keep it.
And I do remember you telling us that, and thanks for the reminder. But what I'm thinking is Salt Lake City is a lot different than Green River. Cottonwood Heights, I can call and have a window repairman in that afternoon. On my home in Green River, I can't do that. It's going to take me a while. The other thing that I would like to point out is that I don't know that we should align ourselves with a city as large as Salt Lake City. And the other thing is comparing the fees and the comparing the fines to the wage that I would make in Salt Lake City versus the wage I'd make in Green River. So while it's a start, why don't we start with something that's more in alignment and more in comparison with Green River rather than the big city where the wages are different and the availability for repairs is different.
Well, I agree with that. This is for abandoned buildings that are not occupied.
Correct, but let's look at what a town closer to our size does with the abandoned buildings that has maybe the same resources that we have. I don't want to see us align with what cities are doing. So can we look at one that's more a city that's the size of the Green River?
Yeah.
An abandoned building.
Yeah, I'll look around. Because I think it's important.
What were the fees in Salt Lake?
They were $3,000 a year for a residential building and $6,000 a year. And then double every other year.
Yeah, that's about $250 a month for a green ride, maybe.
So,
approximately, that's a lot of money.
But the challenge that we have is that most of these buildings are not owned by locals, and that in the last 20 years, they have not done anything with them.
So
I think that we have to have some teeth behind the enforcement.
I do too, but I still think this is Green River, and we need to be more in alignment with the town that is our size and not a city.
I also think another way of looking at it is the most common complaint I hear is that we would love to tear it down, but it costs too much to haul it.
Exactly.
We don't have a dump.
And I know that there's progress on a dump, and I think if we do get a dump where some of the stuff can get easily disposed of, it would probably help the issue.
It would help me.
We have a few. Never mind. Nope.
What's happening on the dump for this? I know what it was when I left.
What was that? I didn't hear you. Sorry. We have an RFP. So when you left, Tyler took it over. There was a few. I think when you left, when we had to have a 1 year long study for environmental things, animals, vegetation. I think so. I think we were waiting like 1 month or something. So that got completed. We passed on that. And then it came to, we need to have a $500,000 bond that matches with inflation year over year at 6-something%. And we just, the city didn't have that money. We didn't. The council basically voted no to opening the dump. Fast forward up until about a year ago, maybe 6 months ago. We reopened that, and we're looking at, the city has the property. We've been approved. Now we just need someone to come and manage it and have insurance, liabilities, coverage, whatever it takes to run that landfill, you do it. We have the land. And we sent out an RFP 2 weeks ago. It hasn't closed. So I haven't seen any responses. There have been a few companies that reached out for questions. But yeah, it hasn't closed. So I guess there's a combination of that $500,000 bond with an inflation for 50 years, the fencing, the equipment. There was a lot of stuff involved.
And that's just for construction material.
That was just for construction material.
Not just construction, but it's just
Not household garbage. There's different classifications, and I don't remember what they are.
You're right. That's correct.
It was a class 4, which is mostly construction.
So there was a separate discussion that apparently Kevin Anderson was going to come down and talk to the council about our current dump, that it might be licensed, and that license may have just been neglected.
I don't know about that one. I don't know anything.
Renew the current dump for where the prior dump was, and maybe that would be easier.
Yeah, well, we're next door to the old dump. Basically, lot line adjust border.
So it's still on the west side.
West side. Basically, where the burn pile is, those 50 acres, basically.
Because I previously thought that Philip was working on one on the east side of town.
There was one on the east side of town. I don't know much about it. I just found it when I was digging for this side. Early 2000s, we had
Was that still permitted?
No, that was closed in
2014
or something, 12 or 14.
Okay.
Is there something like temporary that the city can do until they reach the milestone of having dumps to help people?
No, because it's governed by the state. The state comes down and actually is there.
I mean, right now we do have the transfer station for small amounts.
Right.
So.
Small amounts would be like a 10x6x2 trailer once a month. Because that's what about $8 charges. Or that's about what $8 covers. But there have been times when people are clearing out an entire family's estate and then fill that up in a weekend. So I don't try to promote that.
What about bringing in a roll-on dumpster for
we were talking about setting up zones, setting up this. The 2 years that I've been appointed code enforcement officer, we've had three different discussions on where to start, how to start, where to begin. Am I complaint control, code enforcement? In those conversations, we said, why don't the city just buy one roll off per street or per block? And we just move that up and down the street, you know, one roll off here and there. It's same cost we're already spending, down here. It just gets it closer to homes or people that can just, you know, bring it down the street versus having to put it in a truck and bring it that way. So we've had discussions. We've never moved on it.
$6,000 a roll-off?
It's about $578 a
roll-off.
It's more than that now. A lot.
Oh, I guess.
It's like before you can ever start even dumping and they bring in, they charge you $1,000.
Our current transfer station.
Yeah. Oh, your transfer station.
Yeah.
Okay, well, sorry.
But no, if you were going to contract and get a roll-on dumpster, a big one.
For yourself or for the city?
If the city was going to contract for it, put it on a demolition site.
Yeah.
Get a different rate? I guess.
No.
Does the city get a different rate?
No, we pay practically the same cost. The only difference is it changed like very recently.
Yeah, it's like $1,000 before they ever dump it. And then the first dump's like $700 and then the next dumps are a little bit less, but not too much.
How the fee structure works is the first one you're paying for the dumpster plus the delivery.
$300 delivery fee. So it's like $700 plus $300 delivery fee. So you pay $1,000 up front. And then that pays for the first dump, then you get it.
And then if you have a second, there's no delivery fee because they're already coming.
Seven.
But I don't know what the cost is.
How many roll dumpsters did it take to?
Dennis Upton was two.
Oh, no, they haul them over here.
Okay, yeah, you have a point.
They rode it for 1 month.
Yeah, I had a halfway stop them through the process, and that's why it kind of moved quicker, is after I stopped them from screening things.
But just one comment with doing zones, I think it's a great idea, but then even with a zone, where do you start? I mean, one way to start is just put every property in that thing in a hat and pull it out. People are willing to accept lotteries, and we can have a public lottery and draw names out rather than, because then they say it's fake and it's not whatever. I mean, people are more willing to accept the lottery because they think you're not going to need all the names went in there.
I don't think anybody will be willing to accept it. Any form of,
no,
it is a good idea.
I'm just
spot,
saying
yeah.
that sometimes people yeah. are more willing to accept the lottery because the pushback on city council meeting was, we're not doing anything on Broadway. Just let those buildings rot. I'm rotting with them.
Yeah, I heard that.
I mean, basically that was the consensus. Yeah.
So, okay. So in addition to this code, do you think it would be beneficial to have a boarding?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I meant to go back to that. I want to read through this a little bit better and more in depth.
Okay.
And if it already has a boarding code and we can improve on that, then yes, I want to. If it already has something that I don't think we need to change or improve on, then I don't feel there's a need. I haven't read through it entirely to give you my answer for that. And I was hoping to today. But.
Okay. All right. And so I would propose for the agenda for next month that we review this and that we add the initial planning for zones, for enforcement zones.
Okay.
So that we continue this land use enforcement discussion. And then maybe by July or August having a motion to
ordinances that we need to help them move forward.
Recommend to the council? Okay.
Any other discussion on number three for tonight?
Say again, it was this ordinance was adopted, but not, but what did you say?
It is enforceable, but it has not been enforced.
Yeah, I guess that's
the
point. So it has been adopted, and I can enforce any adopted code, so I can enforce that code.
Okay. Thank you.
Has it happened? No, that was my comment.
So
I guess one thing that kind of pops my head is reviewing this and talking about it is going to take a while. Reading and talking about it. So would it be better in a working meeting where we're not on a time crunch or we know we're going to be here for 2 hours talking about it? Would that be a better idea for the commission versus?
That could move us along a little bit faster.
Probably same with the.
I kind of agree also with the.
Should we have the city council with us to do that?
That's a good idea. You want to set up one before next month? Sorry, I'm getting ahead. Yeah, I mean, sure, you guys can have your workshops. You can invite whomever. And then you're speaking directly to this item versus our agenda list. And I think the general plan would be a good idea to have that as well.
And then we bring the general plan into a working meeting as well.
Yeah. My next question was, do you want to do it before next week or halfway between August or something? Or, yeah.
I'm going to be gone most of July. So
you don't have to be here.
I would like to be here for that one.
So yeah.
You want to set it instead? So is it easier to do it on the same night as this and just start an hour or two earlier?
I thought of that today, actually, too. So
that varies with my schedule.
Yeah.
Is that as easy to do as any other time?
No. I mean, mine, I'll just have to make sure.
So my schedule is easy. I'm blocked out this day, so that usually makes it easier for me to.
Okay.
I mean, what about the rest of you?
Bonnie's done this.
So, let's tentatively propose 5:30 next month. That'll give us an hour.
And can I zoom in for that one?
Yeah. You can zoom in, but obviously with the workshop, we're not sitting here. There would be tables out, papers out, and people walking around, so it's kind of harder.
I actually read it, so.
Oh, I'm you're further than me.
So, I would invite the city council to, if they want to be here, to well, give us some direction.
So that's 5:30 next month, is it?
Yeah.
The 16th?
Yeah.
On
Tuesday,
I guess one thing I could add to that, there is in our code for planning commission, there's 8 positions, 5 regular, two alternates, and one non-voting council member. Maybe you should ask your favorite council member to be a part of this group.
I have a group somewhat for apparently the mayor is not making assignments or something.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay. I think we should book a meeting. Ask Stephanie and Anton if they would.
They both said they'll do it if needed, basically. They haven't said one or the other.
I would like one of them to be here.
And we just approach the council and request one of them.
And the reason Steph and Tanya popped up, because obviously they moved from this group. They've been here. They've worked with you guys. They've worked on the things that you have worked on. So it just kind of felt right. When Guy Webster first started as council 3-4 years ago? Wow, has it been that long? I only wanted him because he was new and I wanted new face, new group. But then he moved to EMS and then he got taken off EMS. So he's also open, apparently, potentially.
The next was the general plan. Sorry. There anything else anybody needs to bring up on number 3 for right now? So plan of work meetings. Maybe we can send out some additional suggestions between now and then. Some specific language that we want, or some specific
for the general plan itself, or
no, for the land use.
Oh yeah, yeah. Anything you guys have, feel free to send to me. Don't send to everybody. Can't open up discussions. But yeah, feel free to send it to me.
Okay, and now, as long as you're not discussing it, you can send information like
you can
this to everybody.
Yep. If you do that, BCC them, because if by accident someone says, hey, I don't like this, I don't want to open up a public meeting, a non-public meeting.
You emailed out this ordinance. Dr. Zero, 2 6 MS, and this was when I think in
Star. 2 months.
And then, yeah, then you emailed out a couple more. So is this one something that came to look at, or was this?
That was just to get this discussion started, and David has provided better information that we actually have a nuisance ordinance already existing that I had missed some of the time.
So that was the 2 links that were sent, and then so this one is just.
It's just to get the juices flowing, basically. Thoughts, process. But we're kind of focusing on the 1997 abatement code.
Yeah, but this came in conjunction with all this information.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to catch up.
Oh, you're fine.
With what goes with what. So this came about the same time as this.
Yeah. So I would say if it makes it easier for you, throw that out. Keep the 1997. Or use it as bathroom rule.
I guess I'm asking is that this is the informed code, but these are the...
Those are just suggestions.
So vacation, and then so what do I do with the other two links that you said? How do they link up with this?
Oh, it's the same one.
So they're different.
What links?
I think that was the link to the solid